If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 15 and verse 17. When you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say hold up. For those of you taking notes, thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. It shows that you never know when pastors say something intelligent. Amen. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You want to take notes. You go home and review your notes and review the word. In Bible study, the next chapter in Acts we get to, it talks about the Bereans, I think in chapter 17, how the Bereans, they went and studied to make sure those things were true that the apostles were teaching. So thank you for taking notes. And then go home and review your notes and make sure that the word is on point with the word. Amen. Lord, we thank you and we bless you for your word and this great day that you've given us. It's truly the day that the Lord have made. We will rejoice and be glad. And despite what we might come up against, Lord, it's the day that you've given us a day that we've never seen before. It's our choice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for allowing us to see another day, for covering and keeping us, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying world. We need your word. We need it today more than we did yesterday. Speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. My God, we would be lost trying to figure out what to do. But your word makes it plain what to do, what to say, where to go, where not to go. Lord, it makes it plain. So we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So family, as we've been studying, we've been on prayer. We've been, it's in Nehemiah on prayer, then prayer. And Nehemiah's prayer talked about to those that love God. So then the love took us to John. So now we're in John chapter 15. Jesus said, these things I command you, this, that you love one another. And the command, when you look at the word command in the Greek, it's a prescription. So Jesus saying the prescription is that you love one another. Then he changed the game. We say that you love one another as I've loved you. That's the prescription to show that you love God. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So that's the prescription to a godly life. So wrapped in love. But here's eight things that God gave me that love is. So you make sure. So if you're trying to figure out what love is and what love isn't, here's eight things. Eight being, it's just eight. Why eight? Because that's all I could think of right now. That's what God gave me. Amen. So it's eight things. We know in God's numerology, eight is the number of new beginnings. So if you want a new beginning, it starts with the love of God. But here's the eight things that are in love. Number one is obedience. No particular order, but here's eight. Number one is obedience. Two is sacrifice. Three is commitment. Four is loyalty. Let me start again. Number one, obedience. Number two, sacrifice. Number three, commitment. Number four, loyalty. Number five is trust. Number six is faith. Number seven is submission. And number eight is surrender. So let me go through those again. Obedience, sacrifice, commitment, loyalty. God says, if you love me, then you have to be obedient. There has to be some form of obedience to God's word and to God. It has to be some type of sacrifice in your life. It has to be some type of commitment and loyalty to God. Then you have to trust in God. You have to have faith in God. You have to be submitted to God and surrendered to God 100%. That's how you can tell. Do I really love God? You go through your checklist. And then if just think about it, those are the things that in any relationship, those eight should be present. In the marriage relationship, those of us that are married, some form of obedience, sacrifice, commitment, loyalty, trust, faith, submission, and surrender. God set the guidelines first. If we model our lives and our relationship after God, then we're operating in true love. So those are the eight things that you love. These things I command you, that you love one another. So as we're interacting with each other, should be some type of obedience and order and sacrifice, commitment, loyalty, trust, faith, submission, and surrender. When we operate like that, it keeps a lot of the foolishness out of the way. That's what God is calling us to do. So that's verse 17. And the command is not a suggestion. It's a command. That you love one another. Let's keep this in context too. This is Christ speaking before he's to be arrested and killed. Not just arrested and go to jail. Remember growing up, we had guys who got arrested and going to jail, so they turned themselves in, right? Okay, I'm the only one who grew up in a neighborhood like that. That's okay. All right? But it's a difference when you're getting arrested knowing that you're going to go to jail, you're going to do your time, and you're going to get out. It's a different conversation you have than knowing that you're getting ready to get arrested and be killed, and that's it. So here's Jesus, and I'm getting ready to be arrested and be killed, and I'm commanding you that you love one another. Don't start devouring one another. Don't start backbiting and hating and stabbing each other in the back once I leave. You got to love one another. Family, the only way that the church looks attractive is when they come in here and we love one another. Amen. They come in here and we're gossiping, we're backbiting, and we're stabbing each other in the back, and we're hating on each other, and I say, I can get that in the world. I thought the church was different. Jesus is saying, if you are a true reflection of me, then you will love one another. You will go the extra mile for one another. And that's what separates us from the world. So here we go. So we got the backdrop. Then verse 18, we went over it last week. Then he shifts it a little bit. He goes from loving one another, and he talks about the world. This orderly system of deception. He said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And the word hate means detest and to persecute. We went to 1 John 2 and 15. So, Natalie, let's go throw that up on the board. You don't have to turn here because Natalie's going to throw it up. 1 John 2 and 15. And then Jesus said, he shifts the love. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. All right. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. So he said we should love one another, but don't love the world. The world is the orderly system of deception, the cosmos. This thing that Satan is orchestrating to make us think that we need to be something in order to have something, although God has already created us to be something, his precious godly treasure. But the world says, I need this, I need that, I need to stab you in the back so I can get it, and if I run over you on the way to get there, so be it, you is in my way trying to get to where I'm trying to go. So I really don't have to love you because I love the world. And so God is saying, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. So he's saying, don't put the world above God. Don't put the world above each other. You got to love one another, because he knew what would come in between me loving my brother and my sister is the world. I need to get mine and I need to get where I'm trying to go. So if my brother or sister, if they go, if they're without, if they're in my way, so be it, if I have to step on them to get where I'm trying to go. So God draws the distinction. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't serve two masters, just can't do it. 16, Natalie. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We talked about it last week, how soon as Adam got married, here comes Satan on the scene. Married couples, you made a note of that last week. Make a note of it this week, too, because it ain't going to change. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now look at the shift right here. Hit 18, Natalie. Little children, or dear children, it is the last hour. So John is saying we're in the last hour, the last time. All right, so here's my question to you. And most things happen at what time? Watching the movies, things happen at what time? All right, exactly what hour at night? Midnight. Oh, well, you all are sharp. I knew you were movie watchers. I knew I had some movie watchers in here. So John is saying we're in the last hour. That word time in the Greek is hour. We're in the last hour. So here's my question. Is it 11 o'clock or is it 11:59? Is it the beginning of the last hour or is it getting ready to hit? Is it getting ready to strike 12? If you look in society today, God help us. Brother Tommy and I were talking about this yesterday. Is it 11 o'clock or is it 11:59? Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Somebody say amen. Amen. Whereby we know that it is the last hour. They have a group of, keep it there now, we're going to finish in just a minute. They have a group of atheist lawyers called the Freedom from American Organization, Freedom from a Religion Organization, atheist lawyers. And any time that something happens where the name Jesus is lifted up, they're the ones that try and get the Ten Commandments off the court buildings and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to see God nowhere. You have heard that the Antichrist will come, and even now, there was an incident where a young man was playing football in the fall, got hurt, was laid out on the field. It was a youth pastor. Some of the guys on the team knew that the youth pastor was there in the audience. So they went and got him and had him. The young man was laid out for 30 minutes, couldn't move. The youth pastor, they got him. He came down and prayed for the young man. The Freedom from Religion found out about it and sued the school, in the process of trying to sue the school and the church, because he prayed for him, and it should be separation of church and state. We don't want God anywhere. Is it 11:59 or is it 11 o'clock? But then on the other hand, we have the ACLJ, not to be confused with the ACLU. It's totally different. But you got the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, which is a group of Christian lawyers. And they're the ones that's always going to bat for those of us. Here's another instance with the Freedom from Religion. It was a school, a college that has a hotel on their campus. And you go to a hotel, you open a drawer, and inside the Gideon Bible. So they sent a letter to the president of the school saying, if you don't remove those Bibles out of that hotel, we're suing you, we're suing the school, we're suing this, that, the other. So the school didn't want to really get into it, so they removed the Bibles. We don't want the hassle. Because you got the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist. Any time, and think about any time we do something that goes against God, then we operate with that spirit. God help us. Is it 11:59 or is it 11? Then if let's finish the last one, Natalie. Let's go to 19. Said they went out from us, but they were not of us. Talking about the Antichrist, still in that same spirit. If you look at all these different cults and these false religions, you see that they started as in Christianity, majority of them, 80%, even 90%. And then they tweaked it so they could have their own thing. They could add their own slant to God. John is saying they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued or remained with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They might be revealed that they were not at all of us. So don't be surprised that there's so many false prophets out there and so many other things out there. That's why you have to know the word. Let's go back to John 15 and 18. Family, that's why we teach the word. That's why we encourage you come out at least once a month to Bible study. That's why we encourage you to wake up every morning, fast, pray and worship and read your word. Let God speak to your heart. It's too much going on for us not to be into the word. It's too much going on. It changes daily. God doesn't change, but things change daily. Are we back at John 15, 18? All right. The world hated you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. This is Christ speaking. If you were of the world, they would have loved his own. So you have to check your credentials. If the world is embracing you, check your credentials. Amen. It should be some type of persecution. We're going to get to that. Don't get ahead of myself. Let me keep going. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. So Christ has chosen us. And most of us, we know it at school, on our job, whether we're at the gym and they're saying this, they're saying that, and you take a stand, it's, you know, people want to laugh and all that kind of stuff and say you're being too religious, you're a holy roller, you're a Jesus freak. It's not that serious, but it is that serious. Verse 20, underline the word remember. Jesus said, remember. The word that I've said unto you, the servant is not greater than the master. We serve God. God doesn't serve us. We serve God. We didn't create God. God created us. Some people get it twisted. They want to create God and then live by their own rules. But no, God created us. We didn't create God. Jesus Christ is our standard and nothing else. Remember the word that I've said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, if they're keeping this word, then they'll keep your word also when we're operating according to the word. Family, if somebody is not teaching the word of God, then, you know, you have to somewhat challenge them on that. I mean, not to be disrespectful, but just say, let's stick to the word. And what I would suggest, too, because there's so much going on in the world today, don't get into this opinion about this, that. Just bring it right back to the world, to the word. Bring the world to the word. Amen? Amen. Well, you know, that's already been written about. Can I show you in the Bible? There you go. Otherwise, it's opinion and you and this. Because, look, let's go to 21. This is what Jesus said. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, underline my name's sake, that you and I will be, or we should be, persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. All right. For lifting up the name of Jesus, for praying for someone in the name of Jesus who's out on the football field, for having a Bible in your backpack, be persecuted for that, for his name's sake. See, we kind of get it twisted sometimes. We say, you know, the people in the job, man, they found out I'm a Christian, man, and they persecute me every day. It's like, not really. I mean, but you come late and your performance is real low. That's probably why you're getting persecuted. You come late every day and your performance is bad. And you want to try. See, that's not for Jesus' name's sake. Our kids at school, you know, they found out I'm a Christian and they persecute me at school. Well, I don't know. You hanging out with the ratchets and the wrong crowd? That's probably why you're getting persecuted. My family found out I'm a Christian. They found out I'm going to church and they persecute me. Man, they just let me have it. Well, that's probably because you still smoking and drinking with them, and then you trying to witness after everybody's high. See, he's saying we got to be persecuted for his name's sake. Don't get it twisted. Everybody's against me. No, you got to check yourself. You're not even lifting up the name of Jesus. So don't try and put Jesus in the mix. He said they're going to persecute us for his name's sake. A lot of the times we're trying to blame it on God, but it's really just us tripping. And we're going to try and throw God in there. Well, you know, they found out I'm a Christian. Well, number one, they shouldn't have to find out anything. Because the way you live, it should be obvious that, you know, there's something different. They should be asking you what's different about you. Not that they found out. So make sure you underline that. Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted for my name's sake. I remember being persecuted for a lot of things. But only once I really, truly surrendered to God did I get persecuted for his name's sake. Other than that, it was all my doing. I was tripping. God had nothing to do with it. God was saying, yeah, you guys agreeing with them. Yeah, you need to get yourself together. Verse 22. Well, let me finish that verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't want to know about God. They don't know God. They didn't know that God sent Jesus. Make a note. God sent Jesus. It's getting ready to get deep. See, now look why they hate when you lift up the name of Jesus. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now that they have no cloak or no cover or no excuse for their sin. That's why they hate it. That's why they let you talk about God. And when you talk about Jesus, that brings certain conviction with that name. It's a certain standard with the name of Jesus. And see, God is fair. God says, I'm not going to hold you accountable, unlike the law, because ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking the law. You can't receive stolen property and say, I didn't know it was stolen. That's against the law. I didn't know it was stolen. Well, where do you think they got it from? Well, I didn't know. How much you pay for it? A dollar? It's an iPhone, okay? Who's going to sell an iPhone for $20 on the street corner? So if you break the law and you didn't know it was stolen, it's still, the law says, mm-mm. But God says, no, I'm fair. God says, God's not trying to jump out the bushes and say, I got you. God's not to get us. God is saying, look, I sent Christ, now you know that you got sin. And you can't tell Jesus that he didn't know what it was like to walk in his flesh, because he did. He came in the flesh and he convicted the world of sin. You can't tell him you don't know what it's like to be betrayed. He said, well, you really don't know me then, do you? Because this is his speech. This is his message right before he's betrayed, arrested, and killed. So God said, if I didn't send Jesus, then I couldn't hold you accountable for that sin. When you stand before God, you're going to say, well, it's nothing to say. But if he didn't send Jesus, then we could say, God, how are we supposed to know? Let's read that again. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak. They have no cover for their sin. Verse 23, he that hated me hates my father. Wow. Make a note, you cannot separate Jesus from God. They're inseparable. Here's a new math. Now, for those of you who might be visiting, we are an English language church. We're not a mathematically inclined church. Okay, we have trouble with math. It takes us a while to get it. But I'm twisting it this morning because I got a trick question. What do you call that? What was it? Common Core. Is that what's out now? Common Core? Word problem. Okay. But, okay. 1 + 1 + 1. Talk to me. Brandy, talk to me. 111. See, I told you we have trouble with math. Case in point. I got 111, I got 3, and I got 1. And one of those are correct. But it's God's math. All right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Jesus is saying, God, look at verse 23. He that hateth me hates my Father also. It's a game changer. Make a note, you can't have God without Jesus. That just separates us from all the other religions. It's tough. That's why you're going to be persecuted, because people are going to say you're closed-minded, you're narrow-minded. What about the people who never heard about Jesus? But God said, I'm fair. If Jesus didn't come, then I couldn't hold them responsible for their sin. He said he's not coming back till the whole world has the opportunity to be saved. And then Jesus is coming back. Any God that's not connected to and through Jesus is a counterfeit God. That's what 23 is saying. I'm not saying that. That's what it's saying. Here's what Bishop Ulmer says. He says that the trick and the deception of the enemy is getting the world to acknowledge God and reject Jesus. Natalie, put John 14:6 on the big screen. Let me say, the trick of Satan is to get the world to acknowledge God but reject Jesus. Jesus said, if they hate me, they hate Father God too. That's cool. I was watching a boxing match last night. I was going to say I was watching a fight, but you could watch a fight in the mall or at the park or the gym or something. Yeah. But I was watching a boxing match last night. And the guy said, I want to thank God, the man upstairs. See, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. Right? And so I'm just saying, you got to distinguish that stuff. I don't know what God he's talking about. I don't know who the man upstairs is. I could kind of add to it and maybe say, yeah, he's a, but I can't. The award ceremony, I just want to thank God for, you can acknowledge God and reject Jesus and you're not connected. You're connected to a false God. It doesn't work like that. Put a star by verse 23. Family, this world is deceptive, is lying to us, is trying to get our youth caught up, is trying to get us caught up, is trying to make us forget everything that the Word says. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to read the Word. You can't separate Jesus from God. They are one. And the Holy Spirit, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And that's why you're going to be persecuted, because people don't want to hear that stuff. And you're divisive, and you're a bigot, and you're closed-minded. And you're not inclusive, and you got hate speech. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. And the Christians, before they were called Christians, they were called the way, the people of the way. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Wow. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Show us 7 as well, Natalie. I love this. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Wait a minute, Jesus. How can we see God? How can we see the Father and know him? And because 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. So Jesus saying, if you've seen me, he's telling his disciples, you've seen me, you see God. And now you know God. That's crazy, man. Get out of here with that stuff. That's what he said in verse 23. Now, let's go back to John 15:23. All right, 15:23. Let me read it again so you know. So when you go to your job tomorrow, When you go to school tomorrow, youth, and they're talking about evolution in your biology class and how that we evolved from a little amoeba, a little this, a Big Bang Theory, and you were this, that, and the other, now you're human. And you say, no, the Bible teaches. And then watch you get persecuted. But that's okay, because it's for his name's sake. They hated him, they're going to hate you. When you go to your job tomorrow and they say, well, you know, I think every religion is, you know, has God in it. Every religion leads to God. Say, well, what do they believe about Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ said that he and God is inseparable. No, that's not true. I don't believe that. See, you're being divisive. See, you guys think you have the only answer. You guys think that your religion is right and everybody is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's why you take them. Can I show you in the Word? Get yourself out of the way. Get your opinion out of the way. Let me just show you. I don't want to read. Okay, cool then. That's all right. It's not me. I want to show you what God said. That way it gets you out of the way. Then you're persecuted for his name's sake. Not for your opinion. Because it's so tricky now. You can't talk to people about nothing. You talk to them about abortion. Saying, well, I don't, you know, is that murder? That's just a little piece of gobbledygook. My tongue is a little piece of gobbledygook. And I'm not saying, it's just like, and they want to argue, no, let me show you in the Word where it says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that before we were created, before we were anything, God made us something. And then I teach in juvenile halls and other group homes, and have a lot of kids. I told you they're gay for the state. Mr. Carter, I'm just gay for the state. I'm not really gay. I'm just gay for the state. Whatever that means. Okay. But they come to Bible study and I thank God for that. They say, Mr. Carter, the first question is homosexuality a sin? I said, it's not the unforgivable sin. Yes, it is, but it's not the unforgivable sin. We can't pick and choose like because you are homosexual or because you had an abortion or because you're here, or you're sleeping there, or you're stealing, or you're lying, that they're different. God says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. So if you had an abortion, or some of us guys, if we supported our girlfriend to have an abortion, it's not the unforgivable sin. You just got, God, I've sinned. We all sinned. God said, don't try and cover it up. If I didn't come, you wouldn't know it was a sin. But now that you do, confess and forsake it, that you might have mercy. The problem comes when I say, man, I don't believe that stuff because I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I want to lie to myself, so I don't want to talk about that. And I want to make a choice. Well, what about the baby in the womb? What if it was a female? Did she have a choice? Did he have a choice? They got killed. Because God said he hates, in Proverbs 6:16, he hates those that shed innocent blood. And you can't tell me if you're killing a baby, but that's their choice. So that's why you don't argue. Just I just go to the Word. I got to stop talking to people. Because, you know, I'm always the weird one. I'm always the weird one. I just go too deep. I just cut to the chase. Because at the end of the day, we're going to stand before God. And we run out of time, but I want to show you just a couple more things. And I'm going to end it on a real question. Verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, underline that, no one's ever done what Jesus Christ has done. It's no question that Jesus Christ existed. We're standing in a church right now. If you look back on history, they went from a synagogue worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Paul and Peter, and those guys say, now we're going to church. 5,000 years of tradition broken from a synagogue. Wait. We need to be circumcised. We need to do this. We need to keep the Sabbath. Say, no. Jesus died. He resurrected. Now we go to church. Here we are 2017 years later, and we're sitting in church. So it's no question whether Jesus Christ existed or not. It's just if you believe that he existed and he is that who he says he is, and he could do what he said he could do. But right here in verse 24, he said, if I had not done among them the works which no other man did, then they wouldn't have no sin. But they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. One plus one plus one equals one. So they saw God and they hated God. They saw Jesus and they hated Jesus. He's inseparable. So what did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He taught with authority. He forgave sins. He raised the dead on several occasions. He calmed the wind and the rain. We could have used a little bit of that, Lord, the other day. Amen. And I was praying like I never prayed before. God, Lord, calm this stuff. Somebody say amen. Boy, I tell you. You think you got it going on, and then let a little wind and rain come, and you realize, man, my whole house could blow away. And me in it, I don't really own nothing. This stuff can be gone like that. Driving down the street in your nice car, getting ready to get swept away into the LA River. Jesus calmed all that. He made the lame to walk, and the blind was given sight. He taught his disciples 40 days after he was resurrected. Ain't nobody ever done that. He died for 3 days, went to heaven, came back, told us how to get there and what it's like. Ain't nobody ever done that. So this stuff ain't nobody ever done. And we've had great men, whether it's Dr. King, Mandela, Cesar Chavez, great women, Mother Teresa. You go down the line, but ain't nobody ever did what Jesus did. But then look at verse 25. He said, but all I'm doing is fulfilling scripture. And all this stuff that's going on in the world today, take them right to, I believe it's Matthew 25 or 26, where it talks about the end times. Say, so, hey, what about this? What a man, all this. Go read Matthew 25. All this is doing is fulfilling scripture, just like this. Verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without cause. Jesus, it's already written. I'm supposed to come. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his virgin birth, it was already written in the Old Testament. It was already written. It wasn't a secret. It wasn't a surprise. Things that are happening now, it's already been written. It's no secret or surprise to those of us that are studying. And I'm almost out of words, out of time, but not out of words. But look at Natalie, put up John 16 and 31. In chapter 16, he talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. He also talks about the prediction of his death and his resurrection. And then he gets to verse 31, chapter 16. Jesus answered them, or Jesus asked them, now do you believe? Do you believe now? That's the game changer. He's asking us the same question this morning. To hear a hard word like this, that you can't separate God from Jesus, he's saying, do you believe that? Or the next time someone tells you that, you know, what sign are you? And you say, well, I don't believe in that. I believe in the one who created the stars. I don't play that. Why am I looking to the stars when I look to the one who created the stars? Or when they tell you, you know, that every religion has some truth in it and all roads lead to God. No, that's not true. Well, actually, it is true. All roads do lead to God, but all roads don't lead to eternal life. Because we all going to stand before God. But all roads do not lead to heaven and paradise and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Why? Look. All right. Okay, so you make a note of that. Do you believe now? Now do you believe? Maybe you were skeptical before you walked in, but now do you believe? Verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yeah, is now come. He said, my time is coming. They're getting ready to kill me right now. They didn't quite understand it. We said, nah, you guys are going to be scattered. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Somebody make a note of this now. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Make a note of that. Forever and always the same. Yahweh, the faithful God, is here to stay. Jesus said, they're going to arrest me. I'm going to be killed. You all going to leave. But I'm not going to be alone. All right, let me finish with this. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, underline in me, you might have peace. Jesus saying, in me. Family, I don't know where you're looking to get your peace, but Jesus said, it's only coming in me. But look at the beautiful thing. It's the peace in our hearts and in our mind that we have in Christ, despite all that's going on. Because he's going to say, in the world, you have affliction and tribulation. But before we get there, he's saying, in me, you have peace in your heart and in your mind when everything else is falling apart. It doesn't mean that we're in denial. It just means that we're attached to God and we realize it's not that serious. What this world is trying to make me think is more serious than the peace that I have with Christ. But here's the deal. I love this part, too. It's not only that we have peace in our heart and our mind, but we have peace with God. Through Jesus Christ, God looks at us and says, I love you. You're covered. You're blessed. Your sins are forgiven. We're not at odds anymore. We're not enemies anymore. I don't care what everybody else is doing, but I have peace with God. I have peace not only in my heart and my mind because all this stuff that's going on, because he says, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Oh, contrary, in the world you shall have. There ain't no might, if, ands, or buts. You will have tribulation. Tribulation in the Greek means oppression. Somebody say amen. Amen. Affliction, distress, burden, persecution. So you're going to have that in the world. You're going to see people oppressed. You can't get around that. That's in the world. You're going to have those things. But in me, you got peace. And not only that, you got peace with God. Then he says, but be of good cheer. That word good cheer in the Greek. Be courageous. Be brave. Why? Because I've overcome. I've conquered the world. Jesus saying, it's a lot going on, but be brave in me, be courageous in me. You got peace in me. I've overcome the world. And he's already told us, that's why you don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the rest we got to pick up next week. Amen. Let us just pause for a minute to pray. Oh, Lord, you've challenged us this morning, boy. Oh, Lord, what did we walk into this morning? We got to go out into the world and hear all this that's contrary to your word. That we're divisive, that we're exclusive, that we have hate speech, that God loves everybody, which he does, but God hates the sin. God, to hear that yours isn't, you think you have all the, no, we don't think we have all the answers, but we know what the word says. The word says you can't love God and reject Christ. You can't have a relationship with God and reject Christ. It doesn't work like that. We have both heard and seen God through Jesus. No one's ever done what Jesus has done. Resurrect from the dead after 3 days. No one's ever done that. He separated himself from everyone else. Died for our sins. Told us to go and sin no more. Told us that our sins were forgiven. No one else could ever make that claim. Then he tells us that 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. We can't get to God outside of Christ. If we reject Christ, we reject God. And we'll find ourselves serving false gods all our life and being deceived. God, help us this morning. Maybe someone's here this morning, Lord, and say, Pastor, I got to go to the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you've never called on him as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you didn't know that he was inseparable from God. Maybe you thought he was just a prophet or he was just a good man, but he says, no, I am God. If you see God, you've seen me. You see me, you see God. You hate me, you hate God. Strong, powerful words. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Say, Pastor, I need to know that I'm saved this morning. I need to know that I'm rescued. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I need to tighten my game up, so to speak. I need to rededicate my life, and I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I told myself January 1 I was going to rededicate my life. We're almost into March. I'm stopped waiting. I'm rededicating my life this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. Say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I need a place to be where the word is being taught. It's no games, no tricks, no gimmicks. I need to be in a place where they love God and they love God's people. And I've been visiting. I'm going to make it official this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. You need a church home. Lord, how we thank you, how we love you, how we bless you. Because there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. And you're challenging us daily, not to be business as usual, but to take a stand. Somebody in our circle of influence needs to know about Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection to help them change their life. You've called us to be ambassadors for Christ, to go out and make the message known. Thank you for challenging us, Lord. Give us the power and the courage. Let us be of good cheer. You've overcome the world. Let us deal with the persecution for your name's sake. Give us the heart, mind, and desire to take a stand for you this morning and each and every day hereafter through the power of your Holy Spirit. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Can't separate the three. Thank you for the revelation this morning, Lord. We love you and we bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, give someone a hug and you are dismissed.